I want to ask you to turn, if you got your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 28. That's where we're going to be looking this morning. And while you're turning there, I want you to think about a moment in time when you've had a huge victory, something that was important in the moment that happened. So maybe you win an award or you get a recognition you've been working hard for. That would be a moment, right? That's really exciting. Or maybe your team wins the Super Bowl. Something like that. Like, I know for Steelers fans, that's a very common experience. For Eagles fans, congratulations, you caught up to where the Steelers were in 1976. So good job there. So maybe it's a moment like that. Maybe it's something like you meet your favorite celebrity and you get their autograph or take a selfie with them. Or maybe it's one of those things where it's a party, like it's a birthday party or New Year's celebration, something like that. It's, you know what I'm talking about? It's those things where everything is exciting. It's just an awesome and memorable moment. Have you ever noticed with those that the next day or within a couple of days, life just kind of goes back to normal? Like, for example, the last time the Steelers did win the Super Bowl, which was about 100 years ago. It's been a long time. When that happened, we were with a bunch of our friends and we had a party and we were celebrating, high-fiving. I mean, it was awesome. It was just such an exciting moment. But the next day, you know what I noticed? My life didn't change at all. My income didn't go up. My expenses didn't go down. Nothing changed in my life. So it, you know what I'm talking about? It's those moments where it's awesome at the time, but it doesn't really change your life. And let's be honest, those kind of things, they kind of feel like a letdown because we build up so much to that moment. We put so much hope in that moment. And it's great for a moment, but then the next day we go back to life as normal. We go back to work or back to school and we've got bills to pay and dishes to clean and gas tanks to fill and problems to solve and nothing really changed and it does feel kind of like a letdown. But there was another moment in time when a great victory happened. A huge moment that was far more than just a huge moment. The sound of that stone being rolled away on a Sunday morning 2,000 years ago, echoes through the centuries and is still heard today. And that moment changed everything. So let's revisit the story. For 3 years, Jesus healed the sick and he taught the masses. He showed love to those that society said were undeserving of love. He confronted evil. And after about 3 years of ministry, he was arrested, put on trial, and crucified. And if you know the story, one of the things you know is that Jesus could have rescued himself. When they came to arrest him, he could have called down angels from heaven and rescued himself. He could have done that, but he chose not to. While he was hanging on the cross and they were mocking him and saying, if you really are God, then save yourself and come down from the cross. He could have, but he chose not to. He didn't save himself because he didn't come to save himself. He came to save you and me. He chose the cross because he chose you. And his death on the cross paved the way for our sins to be forgiven. For our sins to be forgiven, for us to have new life if we would just reach out and receive the gift he's offering us. And so let's pick up there. Jesus has been crucified. He's been wrapped up in burial cloths, placed in a tomb, huge stone rolled across the front, guards posted out front, a seal of the government put over that stone. And now his followers go into hiding because as far as they're concerned, it's over. There's nothing left for them. There's no coming back from that. They're trying to adjust to life without Jesus. They're trying to adjust to life without hope. So we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 28 because this is the moment when everything changes. Starting in verse 1, it says this, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. I love that it tells us he sat on the stone. It's like, just picture this massive angel. He just kind of shoves the stone out of the way and just kind of sits there. And it's like, okay, my work here is done, right? And so the guards, it says his face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. This is such a powerful angel. When the guards saw him, they just passed out. But then the angel said to the women, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Jesus promised he would conquer death, and he did exactly what he said he would do. And just imagine that moment when they realize what has happened. After what they saw on Friday, after they saw Jesus savagely beaten, nailed to a cross, and he hung there suffering and dying slowly for several hours. His body is taken down, prepared for burial, put in a tomb, stone rolled across the front, guards posted out front. After everything they saw happen to Jesus, just imagine that moment when they realized Jesus is alive. Imagine how life-changing that must have been for them. And for the next several weeks, for the next 40 days, Jesus appeared to multiple people. Sometimes he just kind of showed up. One time there were two guys walking along the road, and Jesus just kind of all of a sudden he's there, talking with them. Another time the disciples are hiding in the upper room. They got the doors locked and closed. And all of a sudden Jesus just like walks through a wall and he's there with them. And he says, peace be unto you. You're like, why did he say peace? He said peace because they were freaking out because they just saw a guy walk through a wall. Then there was another time Jesus is on the shore and the disciples are out fishing and they see this guy on the shore and they don't know it's Jesus. They've been fishing all night. They didn't catch anything. And Jesus hollers over to them and says, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And they do. And as soon as they do, the nets are full of fish. And they're like, okay, he did it again. I guess that's Jesus. And he cooks breakfast for them. It's amazing. And for 40 days, Jesus appeared to hundreds of people and proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that he was alive. Now the question is, how does that moment change our lives? We get how it changed theirs. But how does something that happened 2,000 years ago, what does that mean for us today? How does it change our lives? We need to know this was not just a momentary victory and then life went back to normal. Jesus is alive. Okay, that's great. Now what? Well, the angel answers that question for us. Take a look again, starting in verse 5. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. Now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. What do we do now that Jesus is alive? How does his resurrection change things? Well, the angel says three things here. He says, don't be afraid. Then he says, come and see. And then he says, go and tell. The first one he says is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus is alive. So why shouldn't we be afraid? Why should fear be a thing of the past? Because if Jesus conquered death, there's nothing we need to be afraid of. There's no enemy that is too powerful for him. There's no obstacle that's too big for him. We don't need to fear death or judgment or condemnation or separation from God. Why? Because Jesus' death paved the way for us to be forgiven for our sins, for us to receive new life and the hope and the promise of heaven. That's what his death accomplished for us. And here and now, he's promised to be with us in the middle of the challenges we face in our everyday lives. The angel says, don't be afraid. Do you realize that is the most often repeated command in all of Scripture? Over 360 times in the Bible, it says, do not fear, do not fear. Why not? Most of the time when that command is given, it's accompanied by this promise, I am with you. Fear not. Why? Because I am with you. And in the same way, you and I don't have to live our lives in fear. Why not? Because Jesus is with us. Where is he? He's not in the grave anymore. He is with us. The other night at prayer meeting, Nicole shared a few verses from Revelation 12. And I just want to read a couple of verses here. It says this. This is John, one of the disciples who saw Jesus crucified and who saw him alive after he had been crucified. And years later, near the end of John's life, he sees Jesus once again. And here's his description. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice thundered like many ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. That is the resurrection of Christ. That is our risen Savior. He's not just a lowly carpenter. He's far more than that. He's not just someone you see depicted in stained glass windows. He's far more than that. He is the one who conquered death and Satan and hell forever. And he has promised he would be with us no matter what we are going through. The angel says you don't have to be afraid. Why? Because he is with you. He is alive. That's how the resurrection changes things. And then the angel said to them, come and see. The angel is there at the empty tomb and he says, come on in and see for yourself. Take a look and convince yourself that this is for real. And his invitation to the women that day is a reminder to us that our faith is not a blind faith. It's based on fact. These people that we read about in the scriptures, we read about their stories all through the New Testament. Their lives were forever changed, not because of a religion, but because of a person. Not because of some doctrine, but because of what they themselves saw and heard and experienced. Their message to the world wasn't based on something they blindly believed and followed, but on what they themselves actually saw. They saw the empty tomb and they saw the risen Christ. You know, there's tons of evidence for believing that the Bible is true. There's tons of evidence for believing that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. Tons of evidence for believing that Jesus rose from the dead. There's tons of evidence for believing all of that, but the most convincing evidence, the most important evidence of all of that is a changed life. And a few weeks after this, on the day of Pentecost, there's Peter, one of the 12 disciples, standing in front of a crowd of thousands of people, saying to them, Jesus is alive and he changed my life. And this is the same man who just a few weeks before that, right before Jesus was arrested, Peter was in a group of just a few people denying he even knew Jesus, denying he had any idea who this Jesus was. He completely rejected him and disowned him. And now that same man, a few weeks later, is in front of thousands of people boldly saying, yes, I do know Jesus, and I want you to know him too. And the world saw that day a man whose life had been absolutely transformed. Why? Because Jesus is alive. And in the same way, your most effective tool for sharing the good news with others, for sharing your hope with others, the most effective tool you have isn't just the evidence, although there's a ton of that. The most effective tool is a changed life. The best evidence that Jesus is alive is that you are alive, that you are truly alive, that you've encountered him, been made new by him, been forgiven by him, set free by him, given purpose and hope by him, given the promise of heaven by him. That is the best evidence. Come and see, the angel said. Come and see what? Come and see the empty tomb and come and see a life that has been transformed because Jesus is alive. The third thing the angel said was, go and tell. Go and tell. Now, when you have good news, when something amazing happens to you, what's the first thing you do? You tell someone, right? You go on Facebook or Instagram and you say, you take a picture and you show people, say, here's this amazing thing that just happened to you. We want to tell people when something awesome happens to us. And that's what the angel is saying to them. You've just seen the most amazing news. Jesus is alive. Jesus conquered death. His death paid the price so you could live with purpose and without fear here and now. And when this life is over, heaven awaits. His crucifixion and resurrection mean there's freedom from sin. There's freedom from guilt, freedom from shame and regret. There's freedom from fear of what happens to us when we die. Freedom from the fear that our lives on this earth are meaningless. Freedom from the fear that God has abandoned us, that God doesn't care, or that God doesn't love us. The death and resurrection of Jesus sets us free from all of that. That's great news. And a few verses later in this chapter, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, listen, guys, this good news is for you. But it's not only for you. This is news that has to be shared. It has to be spread. Everyone needs to hear this good news. That's the now what. Jesus said, go and tell them. Jesus is alive. Now what? Go and tell them. Because this isn't just about remembering like we do today. It's not just about setting aside a day. It's about living our lives on purpose because of what happened on that day. It's about sharing with others the hope of what we have been given because of what Jesus has done. That's the now what. So the great thing about Jesus' resurrection is this. It wasn't only an amazing victory. It wasn't only a great moment in time. It changes everything for all time, and it still matters today. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we know that God himself came to us. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we know that salvation, new life, is available to us. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we know that God loves you, that you matter to him. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we know that death is not final. And for those of us who are his followers, our resurrection is also guaranteed. His resurrection gave hope to those who were in despair 2,000 years ago. It still does today. His resurrection gave purpose to a group of disorganized followers 2,000 years ago. It still does today. His resurrection gave courage to those who faced deep opposition. It still does today. Jesus is alive. And it's not just something that had an impact 2,000 years ago. It still has an impact on our lives here and now, and it will for all eternity. So where are you with this today? For some of you, the now what? Okay, Jesus is alive. How does that change my life? Now what? For some of you, the now what is don't be afraid. Because some of you are living in fear. And I get it, because look at the world around us. Look at what's happening. Or maybe you look at your own life and see things that are happening and it just feels like everything is absolutely out of control. But today, God wants you to be free from that. God wants you to know that Jesus overcame death, and that means you will never face an enemy alone. You will never face a challenge or an obstacle alone. You don't have to. The resurrection of Jesus reminds us God is bigger than anything we will ever come up against. And it also reminds us that even when it looks hopeless, God is up to something. Listen, on Friday evening, the disciples thought it was hopeless. All day Saturday, they thought it was hopeless. Early Sunday morning, they thought it was hopeless. But what they didn't realize is that in the darkness of those hours, God was up to something. God was doing something amazing and miraculous behind the scenes. They just didn't know it yet. And so for some of you today, that's the main message that you need to receive. Because just as the angel said to the women that day, in the same way God is saying to you this day, you don't have to live in fear. For some of you, the now what is come and see. Because you're skeptical. You've got questions and you've got doubts, and that's okay. The angel said to the women, come on into the empty tomb and see for yourself. Jesus invited Thomas, go ahead and see, it really is me. I am alive. I came back from the dead. That invitation is still there for you. If you have questions and doubts, maybe you're looking around and you're saying, these people actually believe this? That a man rose from the dead? These people actually believe that something that happened thousands of years ago still matters and changes our lives today? Come and see is the invitation. Talk with us. There's a whole bunch of us here. Our lives have been transformed by Christ, and we would love to tell you why we believe what we believe. And there goes Facebook Live. So that's the invitation for some of you. For some of you, just as the angel said to the women that day, come and see, in the same way God is saying to you today, come and see, because this is real and it will change your life. And for some of you, the now what is go and tell. Because you know, you have met Christ. Your life has been radically changed because he is alive. And now it's time to share that with others. Remember, Jesus said to his followers, he said, you are the light of the world. And when somebody lights a, when you have a light, you don't turn on a lamp and then just shove it in a closet somewhere and close the door. You put it up where everyone can see it, because everyone needs to be touched by that light. And in the same way, you and I, we have friends who are living without hope. They're desperate for light. They're desperate for good news. They're desperate to hear what Jesus has done for them. So we need to tell them. Live out that message, share that message, spread that message. Let them know Jesus is alive, and that changes everything, not just 2,000 years ago, but right here and right now. It means there's hope for us to. So the message to you today, just as the angel said to the women that day, go and tell. In the same way, God is saying to us today, go and tell. So this morning, I'm going to ask for a response. I'm going to ask you if God spoke to you today. I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you are so I can pray for you. For some of you, maybe your response is simply saying, okay, I've had a lot of fear in my life and I need to allow God to fill me with peace instead of fear because it's very real and I can't set myself free from that. I need God's peace in my life today. For some of you, maybe it's the question of come and see. You say, I've got questions and I've got doubts and I'm uncertain about things. I want to learn more about this. I want to know more. And that's your response today. And for some of you, it's a realization that, okay, this is good news, but it's not just for me. It's good news that I need to share with others. And so I'm making a commitment today that I'm going to tell other people about this risen Christ who changed my life because he can change their lives too. If God spoke to you about any of those things or anything else today, I'm just going to ask you to stand up right now, and I want to pray for you. Praise God. So God, I thank you this morning that you are alive and you speak to us. There are things you have to say to each of us. There are changes you want to bring about in each of our lives. And God, here we stand in response to you, to say yes to you. For some of you, we are saying, yes, God, you have changed my life, and I am committed to telling others about you. Give me the courage, the boldness, and the wisdom, Lord. And I pray that through my words and my actions, lives will be changed. For some of us here today, they're standing and saying, God, I've got questions and I've got doubts, and I need to find some answers to this. So God, I pray that you would work in their hearts, that you would open the eyes of their hearts, God, that they would see the answers to their questions, that they would talk with someone and find out what they need to find out so they can know that you are who you said you are. And for some here today, they're standing and saying, God, I've got a lot of fear and uncertainty in my life, and I just need peace. I need to know that you're with me in the middle of these challenges I'm facing because I can't do this myself. I need you. God, I pray for those who are standing for that reason, that right now you would meet with them. God, that you would make yourself real to them and that you would give them hope, that you would give them life, that they would know without any doubt, God, that you are with them. Let them experience your presence, not just right now, but from now until the end of time, God, that they would know that you are with them and that you are mighty. And Father, if there's anyone here today who does not yet know you, I pray that today will be the day they receive the gift you offered us of new life and salvation and forgiveness of sin because of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for your power and your love. God, we receive everything you have made available to us, and we want to live our lives to honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody together said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for